2025. You know what that means, right? It means your hoverboard is in the mail. This time next year, where we're going, we won't need roads. We'll be flying around in DeLoreans. You owe us, Robert Zemeckis. You've seen Back to the Future. You know what I'm talking about. Maybe we're not quite there yet. Maybe we're not at hoverboards and flying cars. What we do have at the start of 2025 is this gift that comes around to us at the beginning of every new year. Look, we could run right into whatever happens next, not give a thought to it. But with the turn of the new year, we're given a gift to pause and reflect and listen. Listen together to where God has brought us up to this point and to where God wants to bring us. Listen to how God's Spirit is at work in each other's lives. Listen for who God has purposed Kenai Fellowship to be in 2025 so that we might be faithful in living out that purpose. And so, since hoverboards are off the table, that's what I want to spend the next few weeks doing together. Listening, reflecting, dreaming. And as we do so, I want to create space for each of our voices to be heard. I want to invite you here in the next few weeks to dive deep into your memories and pull out the very best of what you've experienced. Though the world may feel like it's falling to pieces, we as God's people are going to start this year with thanksgiving and dwelling there. I want to encourage you to imagine freely and to dream big and hope beyond reason. And so these coming four Sundays in January, they're going to be a little bit different. I'm going to do something I haven't done before. I'm going to guide us into a process of discovery and dreaming and designing for a destiny that God is speaking to us as a fellowship. And this process, I can't do it on my own. It's a process that thrives on full participation, because each one of us has a story of God, an experience of God, a hope that God is speaking to us. So I want to prepare you a bit of what exactly that's going to look like. Starting this morning and continuing throughout the month of January, I'm building in some time at the end of the sermon for us to reflect together. You may have noticed the sheets that are sitting around you. We'll make sure everybody has one. We have pens here. At the end of the service here, I'm going to ask you to remember when you felt most alive in your experience as a church. Remember when you were most motivated and most involved and most thriving here. Remember and name the very best of who we have been, who we are, and who God wants us to be. And in so doing, we begin our year with thanksgiving, calling out the very best of what God has for us. So I know I don't usually ask a lot of you during worship service, but it's a new year. We're trying new things here, and I can think of no better way to step into something new than by remembering and holding to God's unchanging, unfaltering faithfulness to us. But before we get to your part of things, we need to hear the word of God speak into that. And so I invite you to stand. We're going to look at Luke 10 this morning. Familiar story of Martha and Mary. This will be a guide for our journey of discovery today. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by many tasks, and so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There's need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Martha and Mary. It's incredible, isn't it? How such a small little thing, this story is five verses long, continues to have a profound impact on the life of our faith. Jesus and his disciples are sitting as guests in the home of Martha, enjoying her gracious hospitality. And as was the custom, Martha, the host, is serving and caring for their needs. Now, however else you've heard this story before, make no mistake, Martha is not doing anything wrong by serving. In fact, she's doing exactly what hosts are expected to do. It's actually her sister Mary who breaks custom by sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teachings and ignoring both her social role as a woman as well as her hosting duties, which would see her serving alongside her sister. Any rational reading of this text might expect Jesus to call out Mary for not helping her sister. However, as so often does, Jesus subverts this expectation and instead invites Martha to join her sister in the most important aspect of hospitality: paying attention to your guest. Martha's problem, you see, is not that she's serving, but that she's worried and distracted. And this keeps her from listening to what Jesus has to say to everyone in the room, including Martha. Mary, though, for her part, is listening. And Jesus commends this, saying that he will not deprive or rebuke her for doing so. That, in fact, she's chosen the better part of service, for when we are fed by the words of Jesus, when we stop our busyness long enough to pay attention to him, to listen to what he has to say to us, it has a way of informing and also transforming the ways we serve. And this, in part, is why this short little story is so appropriate for what we're doing together today. See, before we busy ourselves with another year, another round of service to God, we want to pause and listen to what God actually is trying to speak to us. And in this way, this process we're going to undertake in January is our way of embodying this text. It's our way of putting flesh on what is happening in the lives of Mary and Martha here. Here at the beginning of the year, we take a moment to sit at Jesus' feet, long enough at least to realize that even though Jesus is our guest, he is still first and foremost our host. More than anything else that we can offer to him, it is he who gives us what we really need, what we really desire, if only we aren't so concerned and distracted by everything else. So while we say we want to be a church who extends God's hospitable love to our community, and that's a beautiful aspiration, and that's an important vision, our text reminds us that in order to extend hospitality to others, we must first receive God's hospitality to us. We as a church must hear and accept the same invitation that he offers to Martha in this story. Let go of your worry. Let go of your distraction, if only for a moment, and come be with me. Come listen to what I have to say. Now, you may be really good at this. I would suspect that many of us are not, myself included. Our culture certainly does not uphold stillness and listening as a value, and so we're constantly faced with the challenge of busyness, worry, and distraction. We talked a little bit about that in our class this morning, how these little devices in our pocket are built and wired to capture and captivate our attention. So today, as we pause and reflect, it's not just a good thing to do. It's not just this creative exercise for the sake of it. In pausing to listen to God and to name the good that he has done in our lives and the ways that he's been with us, we are actively rebelling against the very forces that Jesus is calling out here in this story. Busy and worry, anxiety and distraction, you see, these come easy. These come naturally to us, but not today. Today we join Mary and the other disciples at Jesus' feet. Today we let go of our title as host and we submit ourselves as guests of Jesus. And when we do that, Jesus names it the better part. The better part of our service, and he promises that it will not be taken from us. Now, this is not to say that we should not serve, or be busy, or be active, or that Martha shouldn't have been doing these things, only that our service should not come at the expense of first listening to the words of God. See, when held together in their proper places, being fed by the voice and the words of God has this way, as I said, of informing who we are, not just the end result of what we do, but he transforms the process as well. In other words, let us not presume to know what God desires before we've actually listened to him express those desires. We call that putting the cart before the horse. Though I can't ever say I've ridden a horse-drawn cart, so maybe it's time to update that idiom. I don't know. If you have good ideas, I thought of putting the trailer before the truck. But it doesn't have the same ring, so I'll work on it. In any case, we don't rush ahead of God, right? Assuming that what we want is the exact same thing that he wants for us. We accept that our rightful positions are as those who are first served by God. And as we are served by God, we pay attention to his concerns, and then we reciprocate in kind. And this too, this receiving from God first, before he expects anything of us, this is also a gift. For even though Martha is busy and distracted and anxious and worried, she's busy, distracted, anxious, and worried about all good things, all the right things. It's not that she's totally off base here. And yet Jesus still invites her into something better. Because as important as the content of Martha's service is, it's the posture of her service that is also equally as important. See, if she serves Jesus faithfully, but in the process becomes bitter at her sister, or resentful of others, exhausted, distracted, then something is off. Jesus cares about the whole of us, not just the end result. And so Jesus desires to relieve Martha of her anxiety altogether by reminding her what is not to be neglected. We must not neglect paying attention to Jesus, our host. Because Jesus, and this is crucial for us to hear, Jesus is the best part of all that we do and all that we are. And when we pay attention to him, that loving focus, that mutual attention given, that will not be taken from us. When we sit in the presence of Jesus, he will not only inform where we ought to be going, but he will transform us in the process. And that's the heart, really, behind what we're doing today by what I suggest here, that in the coming weeks that Jesus would inform us of his desires for us while transforming us and living out those desires. And one important aspect of how Jesus transforms us is how he frames what's going on here between Martha and Mary. See, what Martha sees when she looks at the situation that we just read about is a problem to be solved. Mary should be helping her. Mary is not helping her. Jesus helps solve this problem for us. Tell Mary to help me, and then there's no problem. Then everyone will be served, and Martha will have done her hosting duties well. We do this kind of thing all the time. We come to Jesus with an expectation of the way things ought to be. We see how things in our church and our world aren't that way, and so we implore Jesus, fix our problems. Make things right, Jesus. Make them the way we think they ought to be. And like Martha, we often default to this problem-solving mentality. There is some need that we recognize and feel troubled by, so what do? We analyze the cause, we gather possible solutions, and we implement some sort of action plan to make our chosen solution happen. But it's interesting As we engage our story today, Jesus doesn't see things the way Martha sees them. Where Martha sees a problem, Jesus sees disordered desires. The Mary, in the eyes of Jesus, is not a problem to be solved or fixed or corrected, much to Martha's chagrin, I'm sure. Even though Martha tries to pit Jesus against her sister by saying to him, "Tell her to help me," he refuses to buy into the premise that there's any problem at all. What he does instead is to call out the good that he sees, and then he invites Martha to join in that good. See, Martha and Jesus, they have these competing ideas of how this moment should go. Martha thinks that the problem of her own anxiety would be solved if only Mary would take on her anxiety with her. Jesus, on the other hand, wants to free Martha of her anxiety, even if it means that things don't quite go to Martha's plan. Turns out what Jesus has to offer to Martha, to us, is the gift of himself. And that's better than anything that we can plan. When we devote ourselves to genuinely being with Jesus and not just busy working for him, it is a course of action that won't be taken from us. We will actually be commended by Jesus for doing what we need to be doing. See, being with Jesus will not only inform the end goal, but it will transform us in the process. I think a glaring example of this, churches all over the Western world are anxious about their shrinking numbers. It's a growing trend. We all know this, that people aren't coming to church like they used to, and this has profound effects for churches, including ours. And we can treat this like Martha does, like a problem that Jesus is unaware of, and so we can go to him and implore him, fix our problem. But I wonder if Jesus sees this differently. I wonder if he's not inviting us as a global church to be free of the anxiety that we feel in our shrinking numbers, to busy ourselves instead with sitting authentically and joyfully in the presence of the one who cares more about the church than we ever could. I wonder if by focusing on the better parts of our situations, that Jesus is teaching us to reframe that what we see as problems, he doesn't see that way. And what he sees is that there's one thing that is truly needed, and one thing only: paying attention to him. So just as Jesus doesn't see Martha's choice as a problem, Mary's choice as a problem, even though Martha does, Jesus may look at us and all the things that we view as problems and not see what we see. Instead, maybe he turns to us and says, "Kenai Fellowship, you are worried and distracted by many things, but few things are needed, indeed only one." And so, beloved church, let me invite us in this moment to choose the one thing. You have a sheet of paper near to you. You see two questions on there. We have writing utensils and extra sheets that we can pass around. Raise your hand if you don't have one, if you need something there. On this sheet of paper are two prompts. The first one is remembering your entire experience at our church. When were you most alive? When were you most motivated and excited about your involvement? What made it exciting? Who else was involved? What happened? What was your part in it? You notice these are very concrete questions here. And the second, what do you value most about our church? What activities or aspects of our gathering are most important to you? What are the best features of this church? And here's the thing. No matter how long you've been with us, whether it's 1 year or 50, let me just invite you to reflect on your experience of your time here and to name, to the best of your ability, what you've experienced. And what you share here are the very things that we are going to gather around, the stories that we're going to tell and the ways that we're going to dwell on what God is doing in us, who he's created us to be, and what he might have for us. Lastly, I invite you to notice that these prompts intentionally focus on the good, the things that we appreciate about our gathering. We're not looking to name problems or assume that we can tell Jesus how to fix them or who to blame. We're simply dwelling on the better parts of our story, the parts that cannot and will not be taken from us. And so as we do this, we're going to play a little wordless music in the background here for the next few minutes. I'm going to create a bit of time and space to do this exercise, and then I'll end us with our benediction. Linger if you need to, in the middle of your thought process and you want to finish what you have to say afterwards. If you see someone still writing, please honor that. And if you need more time with these prompts, you have more to say, do feel free to take it home, but please, please bring it back, because we want to hear how God has been speaking to you. Lastly, include your name or not. It might be helpful if you do, but you don't have to. And so without further ado, let me offer this prayer as we get started. Jesus, you see what we often fail to, and you call out the good in all things. So bring now to our memories that which has been most beautiful, most full of you, and most life-giving, so that we might join you in the better part of all you are doing in us. We pray this in your name and in the power of your Spirit. Amen.